8 years ago this week, singing legend Whitney Houston drowned in a bathtub in her Beverly Hills hotel room. She was 48 years old. During her life, Houston was one of the best-selling music artists of all time. Here are just a few of her 11 number one hits. Well, behind the scenes, as is often the case, things were not pretty. That side of Houston's life was explored in the 2018 documentary Whitney. In July of that year, I spoke with the film's director, Kevin MacDonald. I started by pointing out that even though Whitney Houston had a glamorous image as the daughter of singer Sissy Houston, her life was anything but glamorous.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that you would imagine having your cousin be Dionne Warwick, who was a huge star, obviously, in the 60s and the 70s, and your mother being one of the greatest backing singers of all time, who sang with everyone from Van Morrison to Elvis to Aretha Franklin, that she would grow up in a very glamorous circumstances. But that's not really the case. She grew up in a very rough part of New York to begin with, and they moved to a slightly more salubrious area called East Orange, which was a kind of racially mixed, I guess, lower middle class suburb. But throughout her early years, she suffered a lot from racially motivated bullying, effectively for not being black enough. And her mother and her sister-in-law recount in the documentary how she would be run home by all these kids from school who would be taunting her for dressing like a little white girl.
Right.
And that kind of theme of being a kind of outsider, even within your own racial group, was something I think that haunted her whole life.
But she had success very early. She got a record contract when she was, 19 years old?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think she was groomed for stardom by her mother and, to a lesser extent, her father. Her mother, as I said, had been this hugely successful background singer, but she had wanted to be a star in her own right, be a solo artist. But she was never able to break through. She released 3 or 4 albums. None of them really worked. And she saw in Whitney somebody who could have the success that she didn't. And so she was, I wouldn't say it goes so far as saying a creation of her mother, but her mother was a Svengali in a way.
And she created this image, Whitney Houston did, of being kind of a pop princess. But her brothers, Michael and Gary, were very honest in your documentary about the fact that they were using drugs when they toured with her, and she was too.
Yeah, I mean, I think they came from a part of New York which was hit pretty heavily by the crack cocaine epidemic. People used drugs all around them. And Whitney, in the film, you see a family friend of theirs called Keith Kelly, who recounts when he first gave Whitney cocaine when she was 16. And other people, not always in the film, but other people told me that, she was regularly using by the time she was 17, 18. And so even at the point where she was America's sweetheart, when she was this, seemingly beautiful, innocent, fresh-faced singer, and was the kind of girl that, your mum maybe thought that you should go out with, she was actually using drugs very, very heavily. And that just got worse and worse through the 90s and through the 2000s, as people are probably aware.
We have to talk about Whitney Houston's sexuality. One of the people you talked to referred to her as fluid. And many in the film talk about her relationship with Robin Crawford, who was her closest companion during her early success. How would you describe her sexuality?
Well, it's obviously presumptuous in some ways to talk about somebody's sexuality who's not here to describe it themselves.
Right.
But from what I can understand, and obviously I haven't spoken to Robin Crawford, she's very much alive. She didn't want to take part in the film. My feeling is that, Whitney loved who she loved. She didn't differentiate whether you were male or female. It was just if she found herself attracted to you, then she may fall in love with you. But having said that, I don't know of any other documented cases of lesbian relationships that she had, other than the one with Robin Crawford, which went on for a number of years, and I think was a kind of a key relationship for her before she famously married Bobby Brown, the R&B singer.
The most disturbing revelation in your documentary is that Whitney Houston and her brother Gary were molested by their cousin, Dee Dee Warwick. That's the sister of Dionne Warwick. Dee Dee Warwick, also a singer. How sure are you of that? Or is it just hearsay?
Well, I'm pretty sure. I began to suspect that there was some trauma, some abuse in Whitney's background quite early on. Just from various things that Whitney said and from the way she behaved, it seemed to line up with some of the things that I knew about the effects of childhood trauma. And then when I was talking to Gary, her brother, about his own addiction, he struggled with drug addiction his whole life. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to him, what is it with you that you feel, what is the thing underpinning this addiction that makes it hard for you to quit? And he said, well, the biggest thing is that I was abused by a female cousin when I was a boy, and it turned out to be Dee Dee Warwick. So I then went on to talk to Whitney's sister-in-law and to her personal assistant, Mary Jones, about this, and they both said, yes, Whitney had talked to them about it, and the assistant went into some detail about the conversations that she had had with Whitney about it. Now, I think that I don't see any reason why Gary Houston would lie about his own experience mm-hmm. of being abused. That would seem quite a far-fetched thing to imagine that somebody would make that up. Plus, knowing Pat Houston and knowing Mary Jones, the assistant, these are very upstanding women. Why on earth would they make that up? I think that I might have thought twice about including the accusation and the name of the perpetrator if it had only been her hearsay. But because I had somebody who was Whitney's brother, Gary Houston, actually saying to me, this happened to me and this is who did it, that felt like that would stand up in a court of law as a pretty convincing piece of evidence.
And Dee Dee Warwick, by the way, is no longer alive.
She is no longer alive. She died, I think, in around 2008.
But Dionne Warwick is. Has she talked to you about this?
No, I did talk to Dionne prior to knowing about this. I did an interview with her, which I didn't use in the film just because it didn't have a place really in the film. And I subsequently have not spoken to her. I've left that to the family. It's a family matter, I think, for them to discuss internally. My understanding is that she's obviously not happy with this information coming out, but the rest of the family are very much supporting the film and supporting the kind of understanding that it gives not mm-hmm. just the world, but them as a family of what was really underlying Whitney's tragic life.
Well, one of the most touching clips you have in the film is Whitney Houston singing to her daughter, Bobby Christina, on stage. Here it is.
Bobby, 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 my baby, my little girl, oh, she inspires me, and she giving me joy, 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 joy.
She inspires me. She's giving me joy. But, you know, the tale that you tell is one of a mother who basically ended up neglecting her daughter, bringing her on tour with her maybe, but not spending a lot of time thinking about her.
Yeah, I don't know if she didn't spend a lot of time thinking about her. But, yes, it's the hard thing to understand about Whitney. When you're trying to make a film, you're trying to find a way to love your subject, and you want your audience to love your subject. But while making this movie, there was always one point where I found that my sympathy and my compassion failed, and that was when looking at the sequences to do with her daughter. And there's no doubt that she was not a great mother. She was a bad mother, probably, I would go so far as to say. And I think that led directly to her daughter's early demise. Her daughter died 2 years after
right.
Whitney did, and under spookily strange circumstances, drowning or half drowning in a bathtub while under the influence of drugs. So yeah, that's a real struggle, but it's part of what makes Whitney so complex and interesting. And the thing I found with this film, unlike anything else I've ever done, is that people want to debate and discuss it. There are no hard and fast answers, but Whitney's life story seems to be one that is so resonant for people. It's a pure tragedy in the Greek or the Shakespearean sense. It's about somebody who had it all, who had beauty, who had incredible talent, you know, talent without compare, success, everything. And somehow through the character flaws or the experiences of her childhood, managed to throw it all away and ended up, you know, in an almost unbearably sad situation.
That is Kevin MacDonald, director of the documentary film Whitney, about the life of singer Whitney Houston. He was talking with me in July 2018. The film is now on DVD and streaming on YouTube, Google Play, Hulu, and Amazon Prime. And the film also features one of Houston's proudest moments, singing the national anthem during the 1991 Super Bowl.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars?
The amazing thing is she had only heard that version one time before she performed it. Whitney Houston died 8 years ago this week at the age of 48.